Amen. Thank you. That was good. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody. It's been an amazing morning, hasn't it?
Yes, it is.
Gosh.
Wonderfully amazing.
I do this just, I want to share this little story just to help you know how the Lord flows. It says John 3:8, that the Holy Spirit comes like a wind. You don't know where He's coming or where He's going sometime, but you follow the wind. We often use the word, we want to be a prophetic church. That it's that just means listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what He was saying. I had a different sermon lined up for this morning. This is the story. I have like six or seven, the next two or three months lined up. But it's more maybe sometimes just for my peace of mind than what I actually do. Anyway, Friday night about 11:30, I'm trying to nod off, and all of a sudden the Lord starts giving me this all these notes. And I thought, this is cool. This will make a great sermon one day. And then during intercession, the Lord said, pray over people for purpose. And then He does that. So that's cool. I don't have to do that. And so anyway, it's all been about purpose. Guess what the notes were about midnight on Friday? On purpose. So I'm going to share those notes the best I know how, and we'll just filter through it, because obviously that's what the Lord's speaking here today. First, I want to speak to those that do not think they have a purpose. This is a plague over the body of Christ. Ever since the Garden of Eden, where they knew their purpose, I call it the original commandment. Some people call it the cultural mandate. But take dominion, be fruitful, and multiply. Father God spoke into them and said, you have purpose. I've put you here to be fruitful, to produce great things. That's not talking about real fruit, like apples and pears, but to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion and rule over the fish of the seas and et cetera, et cetera. And so, but what happened was when they sinned, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, we've been struggling with a spirit of an orphan, with somebody that was not raised with a father. It broke God's heart for Him to kick us out, but He had no choice because we chose to do that. And ever since then, we've been struggling. What is my purpose? Why, as I've said before, I just taught two lessons the last two times on a fatherhood. You get purpose through the Father, and that's modeled in the Garden of Eden. And when we're disconnected from the Father, we get disconnected from our purpose. And when we get saved, Jesus said, I have come to show, not just to save you from your sins, but to show you the Father. Why? So you could be reconnected with your purpose. And some of us, the older we are before we get saved, and we didn't have good households we grew up in, or if we're, especially a woman, if we're married to a jerk of a husband, then we can't appreciate the gifts that flow through that male side. God is both male and female, and there's gifts on both sides. But He said, I have come that we need from both. He says, I have come to show you the Father. And I'm telling you, it's a lifelong journey. But let me read to you Psalms 139:13, just some verses over you. For you, this is David, for you created my inmost being. From the inside to the outside, He created you. I don't like my personality. Well, He likes it. Well, my personality is this or my personality is that. It might have gotten warped because people around you abused you or made fun of you, and so you hide it, you put on these masks. But there is a portion of you that is created in His image. It looks like Him. And so a part of life is learning to strip that away and take off the masks and find out who you are. It's one small example. I was always, middle school is just the worst. I mean, it's worse than high school. I mean, I got a third one now in middle school. It's just something about 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that's just, hormones are kicking in, and who am I, and you're not really an adult yet, and all this stuff's happening. It's just a terrible time trying to find purpose. But what we often do is in middle school is trying to get people to like us. And I went through all of that. How many of y'all went through that? Everybody goes through that. The girls I liked didn't like me. The girls that I liked, whatever, the opposite. I can't think of that. The ones I didn't like, they liked me. Never could get connect. By the 9th grade, I was a frustrated 9th grader. I was just frustrated. Didn't really have any guy friends. And I was just frustrated because I was trying to be what I thought I needed to be to try to get these things. You know, guy friends, girl. Finally, in the ninth grade, out of frustration, it was a God thing, I just said, I quit. I ain't doing this anymore. I'm going to be who... Now, I'm not talking about being a jerk, but I'm going to be who I am. Now, if you're a jerk, that's not God. But be who your natural personality is. And I just stopped. And my whole life changed. People started to be attracted to me, guys and girls. By the time I graduated as a senior, I'd lettered in basketball, I'd lettered in soccer, I was a senior class president, I was the yearbook editor. This is over 3 years, not all in 1 year. High school and whatever else, all these other things. And I wasn't even trying to do those things. There's a principle there. That as you run towards the Lord, I sort of stumbled into it. It wasn't real godly. Mine was, I quit. But it forced me into a path of just being who I was and these other things. And I wasn't even trying for it. And be a high school president, I mean, some other girl really wanted it. Somebody talked me into running. I was like, I don't even really want to do this. Well, we don't want her to do it, although she would have been a good one. I said, all right. I ended up getting it. I felt sorry for her. I'm almost like, I hear you can have it. And there's a principle there. Psalms 139:13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Knit. Why did he use that word? Not too many people do knitting anymore. I think you have to be like over 65 to even know how to do that. It's a great art. Just somewhere we've lost that art. When you knit something, you have an endpoint in mind, don't you? And it takes a lot of work. I mean, I'm not putting it down. I admire people that can knit. I want to tell every one of you, you are knitted. Amen. You're not haphazard. You're not an accident. I tell you what, with evolutionist, materialistic viewpoint that's put everywhere, it's real easy to think that you're an accident. You are not an accident. Maybe you had terrible childhood or terrible this or that. That was not God's will. He didn't control that any more than he controlled Adam and Eve in the garden. But you are a knitted. Let me read to you this verse. And before I do that, you can turn over to 2 Timothy 1:9 if you want to. As he was knitting you, let me read this and we'll talk about it. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. And because of anything we have done, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. When he was knitting you, your purpose and grace, purpose, he was thinking about your purpose, and he knitted into you your purpose and grace. That means he's given you the favor and the grace to do it. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus. This is what I want to emphasize. Before the beginning of time. Nobody knits something not knowing where it's going to go. There's such a desire in America as we've moved away from God. What is my purpose? What is the plan of my life? There's so many self-help books. There's so many, all these kinds of things out there to find meaning and purpose and meditate and do all this stuff. Let me tell you, you do not create your purpose. That's why no matter what you do, you will not be satisfied. Your purpose has already been decided and you can't change it. Now, you can fight against it and choose not to do it. But before the beginning of time, not before you were conceived, before Adam and Eve was created. See, time was created through those first 6 days. There was no time before that. We cannot fathom that because we're such products of time. But before Adam and Eve, before the beginning of time, he already knitted you. If you're a young earth creationist, 6,000 years later, for something else longer. But at least 6,000 years ago, it was said over Joe, this is how I'm knitting him. And his purpose is already decided. And it's a purpose that is going to thrill him, charge him, and advance the cultural mandate on earth. And if he doesn't do it, there's going to be a hole in the fabric. Can you get that around? And so when we become saved, it's a journey to figure out how he made us. Because of sin, there's so much to unlearn. There's so much weird thoughts we have to change. Romans 12:1 says, renew your mind. What does that mean? Get your mind back to where it was before sin affected you. Now, I fight in giving my life to the Lord. Because I think my agenda, my ambition, my goal, my purpose is going to be so much better than his. But you realize yours is totally affected by your culture and how you grew up. What's important in America may not be important in Hong Kong or Nepal or somewhere else. But the Lord, what he did was before the beginning of time, he created your purpose. Ephesians 2:8 through 10. Let me read that. If you want to follow along, you can turn over there. As you're turning there, so what the Christian life is doing is us trying to catch up with his purpose, not create a purpose. You see the difference there? Paul says, I must die daily. What is he dying to? What he wants to do. But this is what I can tell you. I remember when I was struggling to give my life to the Lord as a teenager, I didn't want to do it because he was going to do just send me to the worst assignment on earth. I was going to marry some ugly lady and move to somewhere. You fill in the blanks. I was going to be poor all my life. I was going to be a celibate monk in a monastery that they don't allow talking. Although that does sound appealing at different times. Maybe not the celibate part, but the not talking part. You fill in the blank there. Let's just move on. This is going downhill. Ephesians 2:8. There's a place for vulnerability, and then there's sometimes it's just stupid. Oh, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not by works that no one could boast. Hopefully these are familiar verses. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do God's work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When you were conceived, there was a physical form given that the spiritual purpose could then wrap itself in. And you started the journey. You were born when you were born. It was not by accident. Even if your parents did it out of wedlock and they didn't expect it, that's still when you were destined. You know, I heard a couple, they don't go here, they're not even Christians, say recently, well, we're not going to have kids because I don't want to bring them into this world. Well, every generation has said that. And you know, maybe that it's time for that kid with a purpose that was given 6,000 years ago to change this generation. And when we don't do that, it's out of selfish, narcissistic thought. We're hurting the generation that they were supposed to be born into. You know, we always, and I'm a parent. I mean, we all want our kids to come into an easy life, get a great job, build up a big 401k, and just, you know, succeed. But you know, that is not God's viewpoint at all. Jobs are important. 401ks are important. They're means to an end to feed you. But I'm telling you, it is much bigger than that. In Ecclesiastes 3:11,
It says, God has put eternity into the hearts of men. And I think that's starting today for some of you. Some of you, it's been going on. Eternity in the hearts of men. I don't know what all happened to me. You've heard bits and pieces of it. But I was 13 years old. I was on the back seat of a dead church in Red Oak, Georgia. I didn't want to be there. I didn't like it. And God gave me a vision. I won't go into all of it. But let me tell you, this is one practical outcome of that. Ever since then, I have never viewed my life as 70 years or 80 years or 90 years long. I don't know what happened. Even now, there'll be a time I change, but then my assignment just keeps going on in heaven. And when you realize this is preparation for that too, it'll change your whole life. Do you realize this is the only place you can exercise faith and get rewards? There's going to be stuff we do in heaven. There's going to be assignments. There's going to be things we learn. There's going to be things we grow. I don't really know. None of us really do. But you realize, we go, I'm going to go and get my rewards in heaven. But if we don't do anything here on earth, we will not get rewards in heaven. There is no need for faith there. I mean, you got God just standing right behind you the whole time. And he's put us here for a purpose. Well, back to the ugly women and going to some country you don't want to. When I finally just said, all right, Lord, we'll do whatever we need to do. I'm telling you, I don't remember which one of my kids. One of my kids asked me not too long ago, are you bored today? And I looked at him. I'm 55, ever since 13. I looked at her, and this is an honest statement. And it's not a brag. It's just, I'm telling you, when you give your life to God, I said, you know, I'm not. And then I said, I've never been bored once since I was 13. I'm telling you, when you get your train hitched to the engine of the Holy Spirit, we think it's going to be dead. We think it's going to be boring. I'm telling you, it's not. It's the scariest thing you've ever been through. And it's fun. And it's adventuresome. People go, church is boring. You know why church is boring? Because they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been kicked out and he's been made a doctrine somewhere that he just takes in. But when you hit your chain to the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you have to, many times I've like, I'm not been bored. I'm going, let's slow down here, okay? I need to take an inhaler or something. Let's catch up and breathe. And it's fun though. It's an adventure. My life's nothing like what I thought it was at 13, but it's a whole lot better. How many of you can say that?
Yes, sir.
And so I'm just telling you, just dive in. Because whatever plans you have, they're not near as good as what he has knit for you. Turn over to John 17, verse 1. All right, Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk about? It's so much. I like talking about this subject. It's easy for me. Are y'all awake? What'd you say? I can't hear you. She said she's just waking up. Is that what she said? I am now. We're going to read the first five verses. Obviously, we're not going to talk much on it, but I want to, this good verse for today. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave to me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. There's a lot in here. Maybe next time I'll put it on my schedule, but the Lord may change it. There's three things here that Jesus got. He got glory, he got authority, and he finished well, completing the work you've given to me. Now, this is my point today. Jesus was sent from the Father. He was not born, per se. I mean, he was born, but he was sent from the Father. He's 100% man and 100% God. And I want to tell you here today, you were sent to this earth. You had to be born to be sent, but you were not just born. Now, this thought, I think, you just need to meditate on it. When you get a grasp, I was sent. You mean I'm not just this at this job or just this? Those are manifestations of your calling, of why you were sent. If you're in, we talked a lot last year about the three R's, being in the right place, doing with the right people, doing the right thing. And if you're doing all that, you have to realize this is why I was sent. And you're going to go back and give a report on what you did with your 85, 90, 100 years on earth. That's scary and sober at the same time, isn't it? He said, Gary, I sent you with some gifts. What'd you do with those? Well, I just didn't want to do that. I'm not talking about Gary. I shouldn't use Gary. I just didn't want to do that. Well, how did it work out for you doing what you did? Well, I just didn't get very far. That's because I don't give grace except on what I have knitted into you. Jesus said, glorify me. Why? So I can glorify you. Glory means a lot of things. In this thing, it means elevate me, promote me. Let me tell you, when you're doing God's purpose, like me in the ninth grade saying, I'm not going to wear this mask anymore, I'm just going to be who I want, I'm telling you, you do not have to promote yourself. When you start promoting yourself at work, with your family, at church, in ministry, you're probably not in His purpose. If you are, you're not doing it with Him. If you have to promote yourself, you have to keep yourself there. Man, go back and read sometime if you hadn't read this book. We used to pass it around a lot in the church. Prisoner in the Third Cell, or the Tales of, well, let's do this one, Tales of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's an awesome book. King David was anointed to be king. What was it? I don't remember. 10 to 15 years before he finally became king? It's some long time. I don't know. Then when his son raised up to take it from him, he said, I will not fight to keep it. Could you pass that test? There's this promotion I want at work. Work hard. Do what you're supposed to do. You got to have skills. But if you have to fight others to get there, I wouldn't do it. Let God promote you. If He wants you there, King Saul can't keep you from getting there. That's the glory. But when we get there, it's not about us. It's about helping other people, because your authority says, you've given me authority. What's authority? Influence. You have given me increased influence in this higher position to do my job, to do well, but to also teach people, as the Westminster Short Catechism says, what's the chief end of man? To get to know God, to glorify God, and to get to know Him. Don't you in your heart, for those of you that don't have a good relationship with your physical father, want a good relationship? You want to be known and you want to know. That's not by accident. He put that in you because He also wants it to be with your spiritual father, to know and to be known. I'm telling you, the greatest need in human history is not even to find their purpose. It's to know God and be known, and then through that you find your purpose. But you don't really care about it then. You're doing it because you know the Father. You just want to please Him and walk with Him. And so when He gives you glory and He elevates you, it's not about you. And we'll talk about this in the future, but it's not about you. Have you ever seen those people, man, when they walk in the room, they just suck all the air out of it. They have to be the bride at every funeral and the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. I mean, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? We'll edit that from the tape. I'm here to tell you, you start seeking after the Father and know you're sent. telling you, you'll find your purpose. You'll find your flow. You'll find your place. You'll find your people. And he'll start elevating you, and you won't even have to do it. Amen. He'll give you authority, which is influence. And he'll help you to finish well. I'm telling you, the number one problem, not the number one, there's a lot, I don't know why I said that. A big problem of Christians, and especially ministers, is not finishing well. He wants you to finish well. That's why you keep always, we don't be morbid, but what do you want on your epitaph? What do you want them to say in the funeral visitation room? I don't want them to say what I've said over some of my own relatives that have died. Thank God they're gone. I didn't say it. I didn't say it, but everybody in the room was saying it. We're all smiling and give something nice. But I mean, how many of you have had one of those relatives? You're going, maybe she'll find peace on the other side. Okay. Now I'm not doing that to be funny. I'm doing that. It is true. But when I exit the earth, I want them to go, you know, a gift that was a blessing to this earth is gone. A gift that was a blessing on this earth. And you know what? We know that the work's going to continue. Because the Lord's got somebody else knitted to take it to the next level. Amen. And he can watch us from the other side. And his life's going on. It doesn't end when you die. If whatever you don't deal with here, I can't prove this biblically, but I think you're going to deal with it on the other side. If you got a problem with anger, you won't have as many opportunities because there won't be as many jerks there. But you're going to have to deal with the anger and work on it. Because there's no way in a blink of an eye, all of a sudden, I'm Mr. Perfect on the other side. Y'all believe that? Yeah, you do believe that. Huh? Okay, well, good. You're my new best buddy. But I'm telling you, you were sent and not born. And God has a purpose for you. And the best way to know the purpose is to not try to find it, but find him. Seek his heart. Know him. Let him get to know you. And it just sort of falls out. Let's stand. Y'all been fun. Been an awesome morning this morning. You should be